On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cutting sheet Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thanks for coming.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Make yourself comfortable. Take your pants off. Relax. I'm going to entertain you for the next 30 minutes with some witty and deep commentary. Ooh, watch out. I would offer you a drink or a sandwich, but you know that's physically impossible since I'm coming through a speaker. Otherwise, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's an Indian tribe in Wyoming, by the way. You can Google me, but there'll be no facts or information involved. I am not I'm not Wikipedia. I don't even know what that means. I think it's the encyclopedia of the internet, or I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm still trying to figure out how to use a calculator. Do you press the plus button or the T? Total button. I don't know which one it is. I'm very confused with technology. On my cell phone, there's a button that says end call. And I hit that, I guess, when I'm finished talking to somebody on the phone. But when I hit end call, does it end the call like forever? Yeah, technologically, I know a lot of stuff, but only the stuff I know. Other than that, I have to call a geek. I am registered with the Geek Squad. Not that I'm a geek, but I use geeks in order to answer my questions. You know, it's so funny how things turn around. When I was younger, if somebody was a geek, I mean, you didn't talk to them. They didn't date. They had pimples. They were just socially totally inadequate, like completely inadequate. They were the laughing stock of society. Now, a geek is an incredibly intelligent person who apparently has a very good job with Best Buy. They know computers, they know technology, everybody else doesn't, so now they are to be revered. We go to geeks in order to help us. Geeks wear glasses. Now glasses are very attractive, very in, very cool. Geeks are looking pretty hot sometimes. And somehow they cleared up their pimples. I guess that's the technology of skincare. So, man, that's reversed entirely, that whole geek thing. Oh, my God. Yeah, I use the Geek Squad for things. I call them up and I say, look, I'm totally stupid. What do I do? And they tell me for a fee. That's great. Just great. On today's show, I have a conflict because I am such a lovable, nice man. Did you know that? Can you get that feeling cutting through the sarcasm that I'm a caring, feeling man. I do interviews on the show all the time, almost every day. Some days I do two or three interviews. We record many of them, some of them live, etc., etc., etc. In my career on the radio, I have probably performed well over 300,000-400,000 interviews. I mean, like, incredible amount. So I know a little bit about everything because I've been speaking to experts all my life in little 10-minute segments, which I love because any interview that goes more than 10 minutes is like, okay, that's too much. Now you're just filling time. That's more than I want to know. If you can't tell me everything I need to know in 5 or 10 minutes, then get the hell out of here. You're no good. You're not good at portraying an expert. So I do these 10-minute interviews, and there you have it. And sometimes I disagree with what they're talking about, but I'm very polite about it because I give them a chance to talk about what they think they know, or in most cases they do know because of their experience, of which I wouldn't have. So I learned a lot in my lifetime, in my exciting, exhilarating lifetime. There are some interviews that I do that where I despise the topic and I vehemently disagree. But during the interview itself, I try to be as polite and lovely as possible. I try to be lovely, ingratiatingly lovely. Let them get their word out. And then if I disagree with something, I politely disagree with my own point of view. And that's what we're supposed to do in today's society. Politically, we can't pull it off. But in 10-minute interviews, maybe. Today is one of those interviews. I am speaking to somebody with a big organization who claims that artificial intelligence, or because we can't say those two words, we don't have time, we say AI, we've got to assign little cutesy words or initials to things. That's what we do. We assign cutesy things. She's going to talk about artificial intelligence. I have talked about that many times on this show. If you're not familiar with my views on this, I think artificial intelligence sucks. I'm a little bit older than you, probably, maybe not. Technologically, I'm pretty up on things, but in my body, I don't want to learn things because I was happy with the way things were. And I don't care how old you are. You can be 15, 16, 17, 30 years old, 40 years old, whatever. Someday, you're going to grow older if you're lucky. And you will form the exact same opinion as I do, which is, hey, what was so bad with things before? Things were pretty good before. We existed really well with what we had and everybody was happy. That's what you're going to say to yourself. Don't argue with me because that's what you're going to say. And that's what I'm saying with artificial intelligence. Who needs it? So this woman will probably say, because I have a cheat sheet, otherwise I wouldn't know what to say to them, they profess that artificial intelligence is good for business and good for employees. And, of course, my immediate response is, no, it's not. Artificial intelligence is taking the jobs away from people. They say, no, it's not. It's creating new jobs. Don't give me this creating new job shit. I've heard this all my life. Well, yes, but it's creating new jobs. What are you talking about? You're firing people. You're taking their jobs away. Yes, but it's creating new jobs. Why don't you leave them alone? Why create new jobs when they had a job already? If there's one thing in life that frustrates me besides people, it's artificial intelligence. It's those robotic calls that I get scammed with 24 hours a day. It's marketing through robots. It's calling up doctor's offices, stores, customer service, credit card services. anything that you need help with. And instead of any, you get a robot. We're back because of COVID. We're backed up. That was 3 years ago. Verizon, Comcast, you people suck accordingly because your customer service is down the toilet. But so is everybody. So what's the difference? I've told you so many times, I long to call a phone number when I have a problem and a person answers the phone and says, hello, how may I help you? And if they can't help me, they say, hold on, we'll put you through to somebody that can. Please hold. Okay. If I call a place and they have this little recording that says, thank you for calling the Bushmill credit card company, whatever. You're number 82 in line. Your estimated wait time is 20 minutes. Oh, no, it's not. Or I'll wait 20 minutes and then I'll cancel. 20 minutes to be served by customer service? Hire more people. And when the robot answering thing says, we're experiencing high call volume. Yes, that's every time I call. If you're experiencing high call volume, get more people to do this job, to answer the questions, to take the customers. If you don't care to hold, go to our website where many of your questions can be answered. They never are. What is the problem here? Why won't you let people do this? Because companies want to save money with the robot instead of paying employees and benefits and all that problem stuff and payroll. So don't give me this crap that, AI is creating new jobs and new job opportunities. No, it's not. It's replacing people, A, and B, it's making customer service the suckiest thing in the world. And if you did a survey, and many have, I don't have them in front of me, what frustrates Americans the most is customer service, the way it is now. That was not an improvement. It was an improvement to save money for the companies. It was not an improvement for the customer. So can you tell that I'm a bit PO'd about artificial intelligence conversations? Not to mention that that's even come up in Congress, and half of those Congress people, they're like, they don't even know what technology is. They have no idea what AI is. Was that somebody's name? Alan, what's the middle name? Ira? They don't know what AI is. They don't even know what questions to ask. Artificial intelligence is making its own decisions because it takes information, conjures it, analyzes it, and then artificial intelligence starts taking actions on its own based on the intelligence that it has gathered on its own with no human interaction whatsoever. Holy shit, that's as scary as hell. And we have no rules or regulations about any of it at all. And yet it's permeating our lives, taking it over. Self-driving cars, I've talked about that a few days ago. Scares the hell out of me. AI. No, not taking jobs away from anybody. We're creating new jobs. Shut up. People need to eat and live, and that's, you know, it's creating new jobs and software. Oh, shut up. Cut it out. It's done to make things easier for the business owner. No, it's done to make life easier for you. Life's easy enough for me as it is. It's getting a little too easy. I don't have to get up off my ass to do anything. If I want food, I have it delivered to me. If I want to change the channel, I sit in a chair with a remote. I do nothing anymore. Everything's done for me. Can't walk, gotta drive. Now I don't even have to drive. The car will drive me by itself. Dear, the car's not in the garage. Oh, I sent the car out to pick up Chinese food. It'll be back, I guess, in 10 minutes. I have on my phone here where it is. There it is, GPS-wise. It's rounding the corner near the CVS. It's on its way to the Chinese restaurant. You send the car out by itself to pick up food. What the hell's going on here? Sometimes I think, thank God we don't live forever, because if we did, we would drive ourselves freaking crazy. Because it's totally natural for a human being to say to themselves, as I said at the beginning of the show, what was so wrong before that we have to keep correcting this? It's for your own comfort and ease. I don't want comfort and ease. Don't you understand? Am I going to have the robot walk my dog? Probably. What about my exercise? Don't worry about it. The robot will do it. You don't have to vacuum your rug anymore. The robot will do that. Not well, but it will. That was the first introduction into robots that we had around here. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I don't know. So I'm going to do this interview, and I'm going to be nice, but I got to be honest with the people as well. There are certain subjects that are volatile for me. I'm very open and very loving. And not loving in the sexual way, although, yeah, but loving in the caring, sensitive way. So I don't want to, I do have to respect that we all have differences of opinion. But even that's going down the tubes. I mean, politically, 2024 is going to be a year of hell. As I've said, when New Year's Eve comes around, don't ring in the new year. Say, uh-oh, here we go. This is going to be the worst year ever, and it will. And all because of Trump. Whether you like him or hate him, it's all about him. Wish he never existed for many reasons. But he did. And he does. And now we all have to live under his umbrella, roof, and tears. Come on, man. Go away. Just go away. Anyway, so it's going to be a great 2024, huh? No. And if you don't follow the news, you better start, because you got to know what's coming. It's a tsunami of shit, and it's happening in 2024. We've had previews for quite some time now. But the blockbuster piece of crap is 2024. Mark your calendars or don't even bother. Anyway, our interview occurs momentarily. But first, commercial break, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Because it's important for someone to pay for this. You know, you won't pay to listen to this. I know you won't, so we do this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Amy Regan Morehouse joins us. She's Senior Vice President at Global Education of ServiceNow, at ServiceNow. And we're talking about artificial intelligence, which is pretty artificial, I guess. We're talking about the job situation. and the new career opportunities. Thanks for being with us, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me, Ron.
I know a lot of people would say, oh, okay, creating new career opportunities, I thought AI was taking jobs away. That's not the case, is it?
Well, no, and I think what's really interesting is there is a lot of discussion about these disruptive technologies and what's going to happen with workers. And, you know, if you think about it, the more that AI does the work of machines, the less humans actually have to do the work like machines. So I think there is a lot of opportunity here. And we partnered up with Pearson on some research that looked at just this topic. And we found that there'll be about 23 million jobs that will be disrupted in some way by this sort of artificial intelligence or automation. But what's interesting is if you really dig into the data, it's not that employers should be replacing their employees with technology. We need to make sure that there's a human in the loop here. So employers actually need to redesign the roles that they have and take out those mundane tasks that technology can do and focus on the higher value skills. So it's a great opportunity for upskilling people. And another interesting data point is actually of the industries being disruptive. The people in those roles, they actually have a lot of the holistic skills that are going to end up being really desired in these jobs of the future. Skills like creativity, communication, collaboration, innovation, analytical skills. That's what we're going to need to be able to bring to the table. So even as we think of emerging technologies and their impact on different industries, there's also a great opportunity for those people. In retail, for example, there will be a million new tech jobs that are created to automate retail. Well, that's exciting for the business, but what's even more exciting is the people that are holding the jobs, like the cashiers or the floor sales associates. They have already some of those holistic power skills that'll help them easily transition into digital jobs.
But do employers and companies feel the same way? Because most companies are looking for the dollar bottom line. If I can replace a person with something else, there can be other job openings, but I can operate just fine by replacing what I have and hire a few people to do the software tech stuff. I mean, don't companies have to pretty much agree with this?
I think companies are already seeing that they need to expand and grow, and that's really about driving productivity all around. So a lot of employers and companies are looking at how to put in this technology that helps people be more productive and do more in their job. So I think it's actually an opportunity of embracing the best of both, and we really are seeing that out in the global economy.
Yeah, well, definitely it's a global situation. It's not just this country, quite obviously. I'll be honest with you, Amy, I miss the human contact when I call customer service or order something or deal with something or call my doctor's office. It's been one of the most frustrating experiences of my life to try to get an answer to something when the automated system doesn't give me that option of which I'm seeking. In other words, what I'm saying is I don't think that AI has progressed enough to be able to satisfy anybody's request.
Sure, I feel like there's still we're still early days in some of this, right? And I think it will continue to evolve. And I think there is an opportunity for people to help design the sort of customer experience they want to have of the future. Mm-hmm. So I think, as I said, it's a little early days.
Yeah. Well, maybe too early to actually make the transition as far as I'm concerned. It's incredibly frustrating and very impersonal as well. I'd rather have people there and paying people, but that's just me. But the transition does have to be made because I do admit that that is what it is and we do have to deal with that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've done with Rise Up with ServiceNow is really make sure that we can bring in everyone in providing them that pathway to the future. Mm-hmm. And our Rise Up with ServiceNow program It includes training, and coaching, and mentoring, all of those things to help people upgrade their careers and get them ready for that digital-first workforce so that it's not as intimidating as it might be otherwise. So that's really one of the things that we're looking for in designing for humans and making sure that they can be as successful as possible.
I guess. All in the quest of making life too easy for us, I suppose. Where would one go for more information?
Well, you can come to our Rise Up with ServiceNow homepage, which is servicenow.com/riseup. And right there, you can see the different types of careers that exist and the skills that you need and to jump in and start learning right away.
Okay.
And I think what's great about this program is we're really looking for people from all backgrounds to bring, you know, their unique skills to the equation, and then we can help get them all the rest of the digital skills they need.
Okay, very good. Amy, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. All right, there you go. Why do I do this? Anyway, that's about it for me today. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. I don't know how you will, but I hope you do. You'll figure it out somehow. My stomach is gurgling. What does that mean? Am I hungry, or is my stomach processing foods that already exist in my breakdown of the digestive system particles? What's going on in there? Sometimes that'll happen. My body will make noises. It sure makes noises when I have gas. Whoa, baby, watch out. Keep open flames far from me when that happens. We all have that problem, don't we? Yeah, sometimes when I move my shoulder, it'll click a little bit. I think there's like a little clicker stuck inside my shoulder or something like that. It's crazy, man. My body's starting to tell me things. My body talks to me by making various sounds and throwing a little pain into certain areas and saying, whoa, we got a problem down here on the foot. Yeah, my heel sometimes aches a little bit. And I said to my doctor, sometimes my heel aches a little bit. And she said, oh, okay, well, anyway, anything else? Uh-oh, you know what that means. Stuff happens, you can't do anything about it. You're getting older. The body's saying, I'm not going to work as efficiently as I did before. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. It's called, arthritis? Huh? That's apparently when the body starts saying, some of the parts are getting a little crazy here. And then you start to live with this this little pain thing, you know. You don't want to take a lot of pills for that because that's just stupid. You live with it. Come on, man. See, we've all been living with various pains all through our lives. But when you're younger, you don't care so much because you're just too busy. That's the problem. If you stay busy, the basic things, when they happen, they don't matter too much because I'm busy. I'm too busy. When you get older, you got all the time in the world to take in the pain and the problems. Do you know, I read a survey somewhere, and don't quote me because I'm not quotable. There's a survey that said the number one topic of conversation by most people when they're having conversations is complaining. Yep, complaining. That's how we communicate with each other. Hey, how are you? I'm good, Bob. How are you? Great, Tom. How's everything? Oh, you know, not great. Yeah. Complaining. And you get deeper into the conversation, get into specifics. And, you know, when someone says something, you say, hey, me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's the number one topic of conversation. I don't know. Whatever, right? Whatever. All right. Thank you to my guest, who had a particular point of view. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think they're making excuses. Businesses make excuses to make money. Businesses are not in the business of being nice and pleasant. If they're nice and pleasant, it's in the name of making money to keep you as a customer, to make you happy so you keep buying stuff from them. It's the only purpose that a business has. The one and only. No, we love our employees. We're a family. You're not a family until you go bankrupt. Then you got no family. It's about the money. Everything's about the money. How much money did we make today? How much money are we going to make? How much more did we make? How are we going to make more? How do we get more in and spend less to get the more in? How do we become more efficient? How do we cut corners? That's all businesses care about. No, we care about the people. Stop it. Stop it with your people thing. That's not your purpose. That's not the reason. You didn't start a business so that you could get a bunch of people together who want to make a living. That's not what you did. You did it so that you could make money. Stop fooling with us. Stop pulling the wool over our eyes. I don't know what that means. I guess if you're wearing a hat that's made of wool and you pull it over your eyes and you're doing things blindly, I guess that's what that means. I have no idea. Anyway, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Until then, I wish you peace.